Today we're learning Kritut Daf Yudalev. We're about 10 lines from the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet, Tanu Rabbanan. We were discussing a Kohen who goes into the Mikdash drunk, and from there, the Pasuk, the Psukim there read, let's read them inside, Vayikra Yud, Psukim Tet Yud Aleph, Yain v'shechar al tesh, atau v'necha itach, b'voachem el ol mo'e, v'lo tamutu, chukat olam l'dorotechem. Don't drink wine. Right? We darshaned yesterday why wine and shechar, different opinions. Is it just wine? Is it anything that gets you drunk? We had all different interpretations of why both of those are mentioned. Then it says, right, and you'll die if you do that. And then we discuss maybe there's a differentiation. Certain things you get the death penalty for, certain things maybe you don't. They're just aser. Then the psukim continue. I was going to say it in my Torah war. Ulavdil, where is it?
We just have.
Here. Ulavdil ben hakodesh uben hachol uben hatameh uben hatahor. Okay, and then it's in order to differentiate between kodesh and chol and tameh and tahor. Okay, but then the next pasuk, which I don't see in my Torah or, so I'm going to open it. Yud Aleph is Ulahorot et Bnei Israel et kol hachukim asher diber Hashem alehem biyad Moshe. And to teach the Jews all the laws that Hashem said in the hands of Moshe. And what does this have to do with going into the temple drunk? Seems a little disconnected. So the Gemara is going to, the Braita is going to darshan all these things. Now remember, this is a Braita which was written in the time of the Mishnah. Why do I say that? Because it's going to refer to Talmud. But you have to remember, when it refers to Talmud here, it doesn't mean the Talmud that we have, because the Talmud that we have didn't exist. Often the Braita make references to Talmud, which means the type of learning that's like Talmud learning, which eventually got written down, but basically taking the Mishnah and extrapolating it, asking questions, reasons, etc. So now they're going to try to explain from these psukim that it's trying to teach you that there's other things you can't do when you're drunk, and we saw this yesterday. We ended with an interesting story where, actually I wanted to bring up one point that I thought of after about the story where a guy comes to the rabbi and he says, it was actually not just Rav Acha from Hutzel, it was a rabbi. He came to Rav Ashi on Yom Tov and he said to him, I want you to be matir my neder, because I swore off I wouldn't get benefit from my wife. And then he says to him, sorry, but I can't do it on Yom Tov because Rav wouldn't even teach on Yom Tov. I certainly can't paskin for you on Yom Tov. So you see that this was extended already, and now we're going to see it in the Braita. I wanted to point out one thing about that story. You have to wonder what was going on there. Because here comes this rabbi. He comes in and he says, listen, I swore that I wouldn't get benefit from my wife. Now, the rabbis, if you remember, we came across cases like this. They didn't look very fondly upon people who says, why didn't someone say, I swear, you know, I make a neder, I vow not to get benefit from my wife. First of all, you have to divorce her when you do that. And the rabbis, by just making you divorce her already, shows how seriously they took it. Because you can't possibly live with your wife if you're forbidden to get any benefit from her. But I think the rabbis really didn't look fondly upon people who, in a moment of anger, make this crazy vow. As we saw in general, they weren't fond of vows in general, and especially a vow like this. So it could be that he was trying to discourage him from doing it another time and just didn't want to undo his vow.
Not let it be too easy to get out.
Right, exactly. To say, oh, come back tomorrow. Sorry, not today. Now, the poor wife, you know, it wasn't so good for her, but I think he was trying to teach him a lesson. Better for the wife to live one more day like this rather than have him do it next time. So it could be that that's why he also pushed him off and not necessarily so much, you know, and masked it in halachic reasons, right? And he even said to him, but what do you mean? You drank water, and he had it all figured out. You know, you add water to your wine, and therefore you're not even considered drunk now. And then he comes up with an answer, but could be that really there was something else motivating him. Okay, but back to drunk issues about a person drunk. And it's just interesting in terms of, you know, you think about how Purim people are all into getting drunk and Purim Torah and learning. And here they seem to be very down about doing any of these things while you're drunk, okay? Although they do make some distinctions. Ulavdil ben hakodesh uben hachol, elu damim ve'archim ve'charamim ve'hekdeshot. So what things can't you do? To lavdil ben hakodesh uben hachol, what's the classic? Let's take something that needs redemption, right? And when you redeem something, ben hakodesh uben hachol, right? You want to take something kodesh, turn it into chol. To do that, you have to evaluate how much money it's worth. So you can't do that evaluation, because that evaluation takes, maybe like your joke yesterday, critical thinking, right? You have to think properly, and with being drunk, you can't actually do that. Okay, next line in the pasuk, ben hatame uben hatahor. That's easy. Elu tameo tataro. To say something's tame or something's tahor, to rule on that, can't do that if you're drunk. Ula hohot, zo hora'a. Okay, that's very unclear. I never define anything by. Okay, so hora'a, well, tame and tahor also is pretty much by itself, but that was a little more obvious. But what exactly is hora'a? So some people say it's isur veheter, you know, something, did you cook basar v'chalav together? Was it yes or not? Some people say it includes also dine mamonot, any kind of judgment having to do with financial obligations, anything. Et kol hachukim elu midrashot. Midrashot also can be interpreted in two ways. Midrashot could be a drasha from the Torah that leads to a halacha, or it could be agada, taking agadot and darshaning them. Just any kind of drasha is forbidden. Asher diber Hashem. Okay, now what came from Hashem? Zo halacha. This is halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Now here already, there's a little less critical thinking involved because, or any kind of thinking involved, because it's really just a masorah, whether there was halacha l'Moshe Misinai, but still they say you can't do that. Maybe it's also explaining the halacha l'Moshe Misinai, which sometimes needs interpretation. B'yab Moshe. Okay, so what's the Torah? There's the Torah we got from Hashem. That's the oral Torah that was passed down from Sinai. And then there's B'yab Moshe. What's that? Ze Talmud. Okay, Moshe gets all the credit for the Talmud, right? That's all the drashot of everything that came after the Torah, basically. Yachol afa Mishnah. Now you might have thought, also Mishnah. Talmud lamar ulehoro. They say, no, no. Mishnah isn't practical halacha. Interesting that they say Talmud is practical halacha. We said this many times, right? You don't really get practical halacha from the... And eventually you get practical halacha from the Mishnah, but it's not actually a halachic. You're not... Often when you learn Gemara, we don't come to halachic conclusions. But they differentiate between Talmud and Mishnah. Okay, you could say just Talmud needs more thinking involved. But Mishnah, lahorot, so Mishnah is really just giving different opinions and it's not paskening. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Yachol Afa Talmud. He disagrees. He actually thinks Talmud is not included. You might have thought Talmud is included. Talmud lomar ulehorot. He holds like I kind of said, which is that the Talmud doesn't really have horot in it. You don't teach halacha lamaaseh from it, and therefore you could learn Talmud. Now you wonder why he wanted to say this. It could be that what was pushing him is, again, if you take Rav Ashi seriously about that Rav wouldn't do any drashot on Yom Tov, because he had drunk something, and every week, you know, forget about during the week if you drink something, they often drink wine, but if on Shabbat and Yom Tov where you're chayav to drink, how's anyone ever going to learn, right? It's bad enough they took Tisha B'Av off the list. You know, you can't learn on Tisha B'Av. Can't learn when you're on Avelu. Now you're going to say you can't learn any time you've drunk something. So I think because of that, they wanted to limit this Isur. Kiman az lahadatanya, according to who is the following brayta? Yatsa sheretz tameu tzvardeya tahor, sheshtuye yayim morim bahen hora. Exception to the rule is, if somebody says a sheretz is tamei, remember there's these eight shratzim, creepy crawling creatures, that are considered tamei, right, if they're dead, they're metame, but it's tzvardeya is not one of them. To say that, you're allowed to do that even if you're shatoyayin. So here we have a case where you could teach something, so who does that go like? Nobody seemed to say you could teach anything. So Nema, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Hivalo, Rabbanan, maybe it's only according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who allows Talmud, maybe it also allows you to teach the following halacha. So now they say, no, Apilu Tema Rabbanan, Veshanehacha, Dizil Karebe Ravhu. Now you could say this is Rabbanan, but what does that mean? This is something that every kid in school knows, every first grader knows that. You learn Shmona Shratzim, I don't know if they teach it in first grade nowadays, I assume they don't, but you know, you get to say for Vayikra, whatever year you learn that. They keep switching it around, I know, in the curriculum here. But whatever year you learn by Yikra, you already learn. Shmona Shretzim, yes. Frogs, no. And therefore, it's pretty obvious that's not called a teaching. And here we start distinguishing between things that we call a hora'ah. If you talk about the world of psikat halacha, there's different levels of psikat halacha. There's something that's kind of basic, and then there's something that's much more complicated, and then there's obviously a lot of things in the middle. So that you could do when you're shatoyayin. Amar Rav halacha Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Interestingly, they paskan l'kim, which you could see why, right? Because they wanted to allow people to learn more things. But what's the problem here? Who paskan like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? Rav. Rav was the one who said, Rav Ashi said he would never teach on Yom Tov. V'ha Rav lo mokim emora miyom tov alachavrei. He would never teach on Yom Tov. He would always wait for the next day. What does it mean, mokim emora? And emora was the maturgamon. He was the guy who was the loudspeaker, so to speak, the microphone. He would teach, Rav would teach, and he would kind of say it out loud to all the Talmidim. And he wouldn't teach mishum shichrut, So what are the answer? Shanei Rav de Ore More. He, in his drashot, would always teach halacha lamase, and that's why he couldn't do it. Then they say, v'nei kamvalu de lo lore. Why didn't they just put him up there to teach? Right? Why didn't he, Why didn't he just put up in a mora and teach Talmud and not halacha lamase? Here's an interesting thing about him. Kol hecha diyati rav lo sage le b'lo hora. He was incapable. Okay, he couldn't possibly teach. Right, this is good. You have people who teach shirim that always get to halacha lamaseh no matter what, and there's other people who teach shirim that they teach on a more theoretical plan without getting into halacha lamaseh all the time. So he wasn't capable of it, and therefore he wouldn't teach.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
How can they be like so self-referential? Like, they're not talking about the same Talmud like this Talmud, because it's happening in real time.
Right, they're not talking about the Talmud, but they're talking about the concept of that type of learning, which obviously what's interesting about it is you might think, oh, that type of learning only came about in the time of the Gemara. Obviously, now again, what type of learning and how similar it was to our Talmud study is another question. It's not so clear. But it obviously means some sort of extrapolation of the Mishnayot, which existed then. It's proof that it wasn't a difference in time period in the way they thought or the way they learned, although there obviously was, because even within the Gemara, you can see stages of development. Okay, we don't spend so much time on that, but you can definitely see that the way, you know, the early Amoraim learned was different than the way the later Amoraim learned. It was different than the Sforaim, which we've talked about. Their text, that's from already the year, right, the Amoraim are 200 to 500. From the year 500 on, they had a whole different approach. They kind of took the Mishnah, and that extrapolations of the Mishnah is obvious, and then they kind of extrapolated the extrapolations. It was like a whole different style. So clearly, there must have been a different style, but the concept existed.
Just to say, they said that he could not make bring halachot because they wouldn't leave him alone about asking him decisions, asking questions.
Okay, so that's another possibility. People ask, right? People can't keep themselves back from trying to find out. Right?
Sometimes. Rav, let's ask, yeah.
Right. Okay. Mishnah. Yesh ochel achila achat v'chayavin aleha arba'a chata'ot. We're now going to have a slew of mishnayot, which give cases where you can do one act. We've seen this a number of times in Shas. You can do one act and be chayav multiple korbanot or multiple other things. So you could eat one achila, one act of eating, and you'll be chayav four korbanot chatat ve'asham echad, and one korban asham. How so? He was tamei, she'achal chelev, he ate a piece of chelev. So it's asridi chelev. It's asridi chelev when you're tamei, because we're going to realize in a minute, he's talking about a kodesh chelev. Okay, it was a chelev for a korban. V'hayan notar min hamukdashim, and it was left over beyond the designated time. B'yom HaKippurim. And you ate it on Yom Kippur. Okay? You think these are creative. Wait till you get to the Arayo ones. Okay. It's going to be the Yavamot all over again. Rabbi Meir Omer, Im Hayash Shabbat, if it was also Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim, V'hotziyo B'piv. Okay, it's missing those words. You have it in your mouth while you're eating it. You walk out. This is interesting. If you ever think about, you thought maybe you could do this, you can't. If you want to carry something out, stick it in your mouth as if you're eating it, and then you get it, you know, to the next. I don't know why you would do that. What you're going to do is something after you already put it in your mouth. But if you then were motzi it from reshut to reshut, from one domain to another, you'd be chayav. Okay, so you'd be chayav another one. Amru lo, eino menashem. They said no. Hotza is different. In other words, all the ones we were talking about were isurei achila. Okay, so what did you do here? Let's go through. You ate chelev, which is aser. You ate notar, which is aser. You were metame mukdashim, which was aser, and you did it on Yom HaKippurim. So you ate on Yom HaKippurim, which is aser. All those things you have to bring a korban chatat. So, and asham mi'ilot, because you benefited from hekdesh. So you have to bring the asham mi'ilot, that's mi'ilah. Okay, so again, you have to do this all also b'shogeg. You didn't know about any of this, okay? So they said, no, we were only talking about, yeah, it's true you'd be chayav another for hotza, but we were talking about things that relate to food, eating. By hotza, you're not chayav for eating. We're talking about one, you know, you could do one act of eating. Yes, of course, you could add to it all sorts of other things, like taking a nap, but that's not what we're talking about. He obviously viewed it as, well, you're doing it toch kedei achila. While you're eating, you're taking it out. But they didn't think that should be part of it. So the first question is, now we have an issue. What happens here? Chelev is aser. So now you're going to add to it also, chelev can become notar. Isn't that what we call? Ein isur chalal isur. We've seen this a number of times. Once something's prohibited I'll give you an easy example. You have non-kosher meat, and let's say it dies or it wasn't, or you shechted it even, right? What, even kosher shechita, non-kosher meat, whatever it is, or you didn't shecht it properly, kosher meat you didn't shecht, and then you cook it up in milk. So we say, Eimish shechal al iser, that's not baser b'chal, you're only chayav mishum eating the non-kosher meat. Because once it's forbidden, you don't add isur to it. So, say, Nihid iser chal al iser leitle, iser kol al iser mosif eitle. It's true that he doesn't hold isur chal al isur, but he does, if you remember, we learned isur chal al isur, we said there's a number of exceptions. I'll talk, they only mentioned two of them, but I'll already mention three because we're going to get to the third one later. There's three main exceptions, okay? The first one is the easiest one to explain, which isn't mentioned here yet, which is their chal bahade hadade. That means if they become usher to you at the same time, for the isur of both of them are happen at the same time, okay? I had a good example in my head. Okay, we'll talk about arayot. I'll give you an example from arayot. So it's forbidden to sleep with your brother's wife. If your brother's wife is also married to your brother. So if when you got married, no, if, sorry, and then if your brother gets married, his wife is forbidden to you for two reasons, Eshadish, and she married your brother. So as regards to you, as soon as she marries your brother, she's usher to you at the same time for Eshadish and Eshadach. Okay? So that would be something that happens at the same time. Now we get into Kolel and Mosif. Okay? The difference between Kolel and Mosif, both of them is that an additional isur gets added or additional things become prohibited over time. The difference is that kolel is referring specifically to the person, relates to me. More things are going to be usur to me now than were before. Like, for example, Yom Kippurim. Okay, so if I eat something that's usur to me generally, but I eat it on Yom Kippur, that's going to be isur kolel. Because now that it's Yom Kippur, my isur of eating on Yom Kippur included not just the forbidden foods from before, but anything is now forbidden to me. So that now, the isur of Yom Kippur can be chal on everything now because it's chal already on permitted foods, so it's also going to be chal on forbidden foods. So in Yom Kippur, you eat machalot asurot, you're going to be chayav on both.
If it were bezadon, wouldn't it be the kimlei?
So if it's bezadon, and we're going to talk about that after, because we're going to bring a case where someone gets deaths, and they say only one death, and is that because Amy Surchal Isra? But no, that's because you can't get both deaths. Well, it's also with other things. Kim Le Bidarabamine, we always say you get the greater punishment. So it could be Malkot and death. Could be, yeah.
Which is worse, Malkot or Karet?
So they don't view those as Kim Le Bidarabamine, because also you get Malkot also for Karet. And one is administered by God and one is administered by man. So we don't... Kimlei b'derabamine is things administered by people. We don't say, oh, you get kare. Right, exactly. Okay. I mean, there's a whole debate about which things kimlei applies to or not. Anyway. Isur mosif is more on the object of the prohibition. So if now there's more things usher to it, like, for example, it was only usher for a certain period of time and now it's usher for a longer period of time. Or it was only usher to one person and now it's usher to many people. Like a widow. A widow can't marry a Kohen Gadol. Okay? Let's say then she gets remarried and then divorced. Now that's called, if the Kohen Gadol sleeps with her now, he's high of both because she's a widow and because she's a divorcee. Because when she got divorced, now she becomes forbidden to more people. Okay? So that's a good example. Another one is it becomes forbidden, let's say, not just for eating, but also Hana'ah. Also, you can't benefit at all from it. So that would be another case where if something originally was only forbidden for eating and now it's forbidden to benefit from, that would also be an Isur Kola. So now, this is how we explain it. Therefore, so Isur Kola v'Isur Mosif Eitle. Okay, so now let's go through. Tahur mi'ikara lo asur ela b'chelev. When he was tahur in the beginning, chelev was forbidden to him. But then, havale tameh. But then he became tameh. So migo da asur b'chatichot tahorot... Itosif be nami isure ilave chelev. Okay, so now what happened, right? So first only chelev was aser. Now he's not allowed to eat all sorts of pure items, right, that are hektish. So because of that, he's now got more things forbidden to him. Okay? Right, so this we would call an isur kolel. Because now he's forbidden, more things are forbidden to him now that he's tameh. So therefore, it's chal also chelev and also for eating kachim be tum'ah. The chelev be karalo aser ela ba'achila. Chelev first was forbidden only b'achila. Now we're getting to Isur Mosif, right? First was forbidden only b'achila. Ach deshe, once you were makdish it, migo di yisosef e'isura dehana, itosif be'elagabe chelev. Now this piece of chelev is additionally asur b'hana'a, so the Isur of kachim, of nehenemi kachim, is going to be chal also. V'akate lehedyot hu asur, aval legavo ashare. Now though, it's only asur lehedyot, but it's allowed on the mizbeach. So it still has some form of use. Havale notar, but once the time passes where he's allowed to sacrifice it on the Mizbeach, now again, notar can be chal because it was permitted at least on the Mizbeach still. Now it's no longer even permitted on the Mizbeach, and therefore, migo yitosef yisur legabe gavoa, now that it's forbidden to go on the Mizbeach, it's also an Isur Mosif, yitosef legabe hedyot. Okay, now we're going to add an additional Isur also for a regular person, even though, remember, it's not usher for a regular person, and it's only usher on the Mizbeach. It was already usher to the regular person. Right? First it was forbidden the chelev b'achila. Then it became forbidden also to benefit. Then it became forbidden also to burn in the Mizbeach. So therefore, no tar could be chal, and nehenemi hektish could be chal, all those things could be chal after. Okay, now they say, wait a minute. Okay, break from this. V'nitne chamesh chataot. Why don't you say, if you're already giving an example, one food eating could cause 4 chataot in an asham. Why didn't you say 5 chataot in an asham? And what would be the case? If you ate a kezayit of pigul, it would also be pigul. What's pigul? Where the Kohen has a thought that while he's slaughtering it or while he's burning it on the Mizbeach, that he's going to either put it on the Mizbeach or, sorry, I said slaughter on the Mizbeach, I mean burn on the Mizbeach, that he's going to either burn on the Mizbeach at the wrong time or in the wrong place, or burn on the, or eat at the wrong time or the wrong place. So, what if he eats a kezayit of pigul? Then he bechayv another chatat. So, what do they say? Bechada behema kamayre, b'shtei behemot lo kamayre. So they say we were only talking about one animal, not two animals. We have to have one eating of one animal, not two animals. V'notar pigul bechada behema lo mishkachat la. You can't possibly have notar and pigul in one animal. Why is that? Because the assumption is once you mefagel the korban, well, then there's no din of notar anymore. In order for something to be notar, it has to be something you can burn on the mizbeach, and then you leave it over. Right? You didn't burn it, or you burnt it but didn't eat it. In this case, you either can't burn it or you can't eat it because, right? Let's say if you burned it with the wrong machshavah, when you're going to eat it, so then you can't eat it. So therefore, it can't possibly exist in the same animal. So then they say, they're going to keep suggesting, they're going to have a number of suggestions why you couldn't say it was pigul. You could come up with another possible case. Lo, alama lo, mishkachat la, kigon shehela, ever pigul legabe mizbeach. Depaka pigul emine, bahave le notar. You could say, one ever of the animal went on the mizbeach and the pigul left it. And then the rest of the animal, though, is notar. So if anyway, they usually cut up the parts. So one part you put in the mizbeach and thought, oh, I'm going to eat this past the given time. And the other part is notar. Okay? So they say Uchida Amra Ula, Komets Pigul She'ala Legabe Mizbeach, and now we're going to see, like Ula said, if you take a piece of pigul and put it on the Mizbeach, Papa Paka Pigulo Mimenu, Behavele Notar, Behavele Notar. Okay, so you could put part of it on the Mizbeach, and then, I explained it wrong. I'm sorry. Let's go back. Kigon Shela, I was confusing it with a different case. He put up Aver Pigul Lagabe Mizbeach. What happens if you're not allowed to burn Pigul on the Mizbeach? Let's say I shecht it with the wrong intent. Okay, I'm the Kohen. I shecht it with the wrong intent that I'm going to eat it in the wrong time or I'm going to burn it in the wrong time. So that's Pigul. If I then go ahead and anyway put it on the Mizbeach, remember we had a whole sugya about Im Allah lo yered, lo tered. If I already put it on the Mizbeach, you don't have to take it off. So what he's saying is that once you put it on the Mizbeach, papka pigul emine, the pigul leaves, it's no longer pigul. Bahavele notar, and it turns into notar. Uchida amar ula, komets pigul she'ala legabe Mizbeach, papka pigul emine, bahavele notar. Okay, so now what happens? So Ula said exactly that if I take a piece of pigul and I put it on the Mizbeach, the pigul leaves it. Now what will happen? At that point, it could be notar. I could leave it over. So now you have, again though, you'd have to say, this part, I have part of it was pigul. I burnt it on the Mizbeach, and part of it was notar, and then I ended up eating these two together. So then they say, Be'ever achad kamayre, b'shnei varim lo kamayre. The Mishnah was talking about one eating of one piece of meat, not a piece of meat from this part of the animal, a piece of meat from that part of the animal. So still, you can't have pigul and notar in the same piece. V'notar pigul b'chad ever lo, wait, you can't have it in one part of the body of the animal. Lo mishkachala, you can't find a case like that. Alama lo. Mishkacha, why not? Mishkachala kegon shehela ever pigul legabe mizbeach. You could put up again this piece of the piece of meat on the mizbeach. But how did you put it on the mizbeach? To pop right where, in that case, the pigul will leave it, but there'll still be part of it that the pigul didn't leave. Why? You put it in such a way. Part of it is on the mizbeach, and part of it is hanging off the mizbeach. The part that's on the mizbeach, pakal pigul. Okay, so the part that's on the mizbeach, the pigul leaves it and it becomes notar. The part that's off the mizbeach is considered notar. So we now have one aver, and we didn't want two aver, we wanted one aver. Fine, you can have an aver, half on the mizbeach, half not. Half of it, the pigul leaves, it could be notar, the other half is just pigul. So, uchida amar ula, and as Ula said, komets pigul shelal gabe mizbeach, paka pigul emine, v'havelei notar. So, amar leg lo. No, you can't say that. Because I ruba de mizbeach, shadiel mizbeach. Ruba de barai, shadi le barai. It goes after the rove. If the majority is on the mizbeach, it's going to be the pigul leaves the entire thing and it's notar. If the majority is off the mizbeach, we're going to say the whole thing is as if it's off the mizbeach and it's still pigul. So again, you can't have a case of one aver having both. Now they just, this is an aside, we're in an aside to an aside. Okay, because remember, we tangented off to say, why doesn't the Mishnah say five chataot? Why didn't it say pigul also? Now they're saying, if you already say it follows the majority, Tifsho to buy Rami Brachama, then we could have answered this question the Rami Brachama asked, which he didn't get an answer to. Now we'd have an easy answer. Because what was his question? Halchu be'evarim achar harov olo. Do we follow Rov or do we not follow Rov when it comes to Evarim? So it's obvious now that you can't necessarily say so easily, it just follows the Rov. So therefore they say, well, Ela b'kezayet echad kamayre b'shnei zeitim lo kamayre. So you have to say, in order to say you can't have pigul and notar, is that the Mishnah is referring to, because theoretically, you could have had one aver, part on the mizbeach, part off the mizbeach, and that would be a case. But in order to do that, you'd have to have at least a kezayit here, and at least a kezayit there. Why? Because, and then we're going to say, and the Mishnah is not talking about two kezayitim. The Mishnah is only talking about, you ate one kezayit and you're high of all these things. Okay? Why can't it be there was less than a kezayit? Because if it's less than a kezayit, that's not considered a burning on the mizbeach. That wouldn't be enough to get the pigul out of the meat and then to be able to call it notar. Okay? So, now we're going to say, not talking about two kezayitim. Velo, how could you possibly say that? V'hakatana yom kippurim. Ubi yom kippurim. How much is aser in yom kippurim? Not a kezayit, but a kotevet. Kotevet asa, it's a date. And it's a large date, it's the size of two kezayitim. Okay? So, if it's the size of two kezayitim, you can't be chayv on Yom Kippur if it's only one kezayit. What if we say you're chayv for eating on Yom Kippur? You're only chayv for eating on Yom Kippur on two kezayitim, so it has to be two kezayitim. Ah, so then you could have this case. You could have it both, so why don't you say both? Ubi Yom Kippur kotevet to mechayv, the kotevet ipe shnei zayitim. So, Amar Rabbi Zeira. Now we're going to have two answers to answer this question. Now they're going to say basically that you really had a kezayit of Isser Chelev. With it, there was one other zayit of something that you ate to be mashlim, to fill in the shi'or that you needed to be chayv on Yom Kippurim. That's what they're going to answer. If the two kezayitim really were meat, then you could have had a case of pigul and notar together. But one was pigul, one was notar. Because they were both from the same eber, one was half on, half off. But they're saying it must be a case where you had a kezayit of Chelev, and not a whole two kezayitim of chaylev, and then you had something with the chaylev. So two different answers. Amar Rabbi Zera, kegon she'achal kulia b'chalba. You ate the kidney with its chaylev attached to it. So the kidney isn't the isra part, but it was mashlim. It finished the shiur to have the two kezayitim. Rav Papa Amar, kegon demalye b'tmare. You filled it in. You kind of had the chaylev with dates. Okay, and then you'd have enough of a shiur. I think he's giving the example of dates, just because the shiur is the size of a date, so he's saying with dates. Rav Anda bar Acha matne chamesh chataot. So now we're going to see. So this was all, we came up with an answer, you can't say it's five hataot, because there can't be a case of pigul and notar together in the way the Mishnah was talking. Because the Mishnah was talking, really, where was it? Kazayit of Isser? The fact that it was Yom Kippur and there were two kazayitim, so we add plus a little bit to fill in the shiur for Yom Kippurim. That's the way we answer it. But now Rav Adabar, Rav Adabar Acha actually had a version of the Mishnah that did say the Chamesh Chataot. Mane Chamesh Chataot, umitaritzle kigon dalchal kizayit pigul. Okay, where he ate a kazayit of pigul and he ate a kazayit of notar. And then you'd have five chataot. And if he didn't answer those two possible answers of he was eating the chuliyah b'chalba or he was eating it with dates. Then they say, wait, if you're already going to five chataot, well, let's add more. V'nyenei shesh chataot, v'nukma kigon da'achal kezayit dam b'chada achila. Kezayit dam. Why don't you just say, well, let's say he was eating a kezayit of chelev, there was no tar and pigul, right? And a kezayit that was pigul. And a kezayit of dam. And then we could say, you could have one big fun meal full of your forbidden fats, your pigul, your dam, and you'd be chayav six. So now they say, no, why not? Bechada achila kamar. They're talking about in one eating. Now, one eating doesn't mean one meal. One eating means at one time. And there's an assumption, right? They established or evaluated that you can't fit more than two kezeitim in your mouth at one time. So the most you could be over at the exact same moment by having all that food in your mouth together, kind of reminds us of that guy who drinks the truma while he's eating food and he, tummy food and he's got it all in his mouth at the same time. The most you could have at a time is two kezeitim. And therefore, they can only give a case of five chataot and not shesh chataot. Okay? Rabbi Meir Omer. Okay, what did Rabbi Meir say? If you remember, im hayash Shabbat, if it was Shabbat and he was motzi, then, right, he took it from reshut l'reshut, he'd be chayv another. Now, what's the problem with that? Are you allowed to carry on Yom Kippur? No. So why did you have to say if it was Shabbat and you were motzi? We're already talking about Yom Kippur, you could just say he'd be chayv for Yom Kippur. So v'nitne im hotzio chayav. It should just say simply, and if he took it out from reshut to reshut, from one domain to another, he'd be chayav. My time a katani im ita Shabbat. So I'm a rafram. Zot omeret eruv v'hotza'a l'Shabbat ve'ein eruv v'hotza'a l'Yom Kippurim. He says one can infer from this Mishnah that there's no laws. It's not usher to take things out from one domain to another, and therefore there's no laws regarding eruv. There's a big debate about how to understand this line, but I'll explain it one way, which is there's no laws of making an eruv to avoid, right, to allow you to be motzi from domain to domain. You can make an eruv. There's no laws of that whatsoever on Yom Kippur, meaning it's not usher to carry from one domain to another. Interesting, because we don't hold that way. Anyway, let's keep reading. We'll see what they do with Rafarim's statement. They're not so happy with it. So then they say, Mimai, Dilma yesh eruv hotzah liyom kippurim. No, you don't have to necessarily say that. You could say there it is usher. V'hachi katane, im ita Shabbat v'hotzio chayav af mishum Shabbat. Then you'd be chayav because it was Yom Kippurim. That's what they're really doing, is he's adding two. Notice he didn't say you can add one more, right? So theoretically, they're saying he could be adding two. One for Hotza on Yom Tov, and one for on Yom Kippurim, and one for Hotza on Shabbat. So af mishum Shabbat, be Yom Kippurim. So then they say, so fine. So ela'i etmar de Rafram. So Rafram really can't learn it from here. So now they're going to say, maybe what Rafram said was not al-had, it was on something else. Al-had etmar. Maybe he said it on the following statement. Titania says in a braita, maybe he learned out there's no din of Eruv from the laws regarding the Seir Lazalzel. Remember, we take two Seirim, we do a Goral, one goes in the hands, according to the Torah, Biyad Ish Iti Hamidbara. Now, it's a strange pasuk. Shalach Biyad Ish Iti. What's Ish Iti? Right? Why does it say that? So, Ish teaches you Hachshir Tazar. Even though you might say it's Avodah, and Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash is done by the Kohanim, Dafka the Seir Lazalzel can be by anybody. It doesn't need to be a Kohen. And that's why it says Ish to be general. Iti, now what does Iti mean? Time. Eight means time. So it means it's very timely. It has to happen at the right time. So they darshan all sorts of things from this. Afilu betuma. Even if the person's tameh. Now, E.T. doesn't just mean time, but they're going to learn it means kind of designated. So if there was a designated person and he became tameh, he still gets to bring it. Even though he has to go into the mikdash to get it, we allow him to do that. Afilu b'Shabbat. Okay, here it's timely, right? Even if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbat, because what's he doing? He's carrying it out also. Iti b'mizuman. Okay, you have to designate him from before. So now they say, Katane iti afilu b'shabbat. We allow him to take the Seir Lazalzel out of the Mikdash and bring it. Remember, they're supposed to bring it to this cliff and throw it off the cliff. That's according to the rabbis, not according to the Torah. But, right, in the Torah it just says, take it to the Midbar. But either which way, he's taking it out from the Rishud of the Beit HaMikdash to Rishud HaRabim. So, Amar Rafam, Zot Omeret Eruvo Tzal Shabbat, Be'en Eruvo Tzal Yom Kippurim. The fact that it says here, even on Shabbat, shows that it wouldn't have been an issue if it were Yom Kippur. Only it's an issue for Shabbat. It sounds like there's no dinim of hotzah on Yom Kippur. So then they say, Mimai, no, you can't necessarily infer that. You could say, Shani Sir Mishalach, Te'ach She'ro, B'Yom Kippurim B'Kach. What do you mean? You can't say there's a special drasha that we allow him to do this because it's Yom Kippur. The whole thing, it has to be on Yom Kippur. You might have thought there's a special dispensation for the Seir HaMishtalech when Yom Kippur is on a regular day of the week. But if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbat, maybe we can't do it. Yes, we can override laws of Hotzah for this. Just like we see with many Korbanot. A lot of things are nidche for Shabbat or for Chag to bring Korbanot. So likewise, when Yom Kippur is a regular Yom Kippur, so yes, of course you're allowed to do Hotzah, even though it's usher to do Hotzah on Yom Kippur in general, but for this we allow. But maybe if it fell on Shabbat, you wouldn't. Comes the word, the drashah, to say no, even if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbat, you're still allowed to carry. In which case, what does the Gemara say? Ela derafam verutahi or bedutahi. Every time we say that word, it comes in two forms. It means it's a total mistake. He's wrong. And there's no such, okay, so don't get excited. Can't carry on Yom Kippur. Okay. Next case. Now we start getting into all the Yevamot cases, okay, where we get into family genealogy and bizarre cases of things that could happen with Yesh ba'bi'a achat v'chayav alah shesh chata'ot. You could have one, sleep with one woman, and in that one moment you could be chayav six chata'ot. Ketzad. Haba'o bito, if you sleep with your daughter, you could theoretically have a case where chayav alah mishum bito v'achoto eshet achi v'eshet achi avi v'eshet ish v'nida. Okay, let's start backwards. That's the easiest. So she's the first one is she's his daughter. Okay, that's Esther. She's also a Nida, and let's say she's married to someone else. Those are the easiest. Okay, so she's an Eshet Ish, Nida, and Bito. How do we get to these other cases where she's also Achoto and also Eshet Achiv and also Eshet Achi Aviv? So it's a case where she's his daughter, but she's also his sister because he, right, has this work, I have to remember, she... because his mother, he slept with his mother, no? He slept with his mother, right? There's good charts in the Schottenstein. He slept with his mother and had, she was born from him sleeping with his mother, okay? So now she's both his daughter and she's his sister because they share the same mother. So that, now the, what do you call that? That's Bahadeh Hadadeh. Right, as soon as she was born, she became usher to him because she was his daughter and she became usher because she was his sister. Then she becomes Eshet Achiv. She marries his brother. Okay? At that point, that's what we call Isur Mosif, because now not only was she forbidden because she was Bito and Achoto, right? But now she becomes forbidden not only to him, but also to all of his brothers. Then she becomes, then she, after she, you know, either divorces or he dies, she then marries the uncle, meaning his father's brother. So at that point, he's now sleeping with Eshet Achi Aviv. Okay, so at this point, this crazy case, the woman married all sorts of people, right? And they were all, and then he, now by the way, she was allowed to marry all these people, but she, was she allowed to marry all of them actually?
But,
no, she's not allowed to marry his brother, but, right?
No, but the uncle and his uncle and his father, she can marry one of them, she can't marry two brothers, right? Unless it's evil.
No, she didn't marry his father. She just married the uncle. So she's Usher. Let's go through. Bito, Vachoto. Fine, that all happened at the same time when he slept with the mom. Then, you know, slept with the woman, gave birth to the daughter. Then Eshet Achiv. She marries his brother. Then Eshet Achi Aviv. Then she married, right? Then she marries the uncle. And then, again, when he sleeps with her, you have to remember, Eshet Achiv
and a son.
Eshet Achiv, by the way, is relevant even after the brother divorces or the brother's dead. You're never allowed to marry her. So therefore, she's going to be chayav for all those things. What do you want to say?
No, because if she marries his brother and then his brother's father, then you're not allowed to marry a father and a son.
Oh, no, but we're not talking about her. We're only talking about him. When he sleeps with her, what's he chayav for? And we're not talking about that she did things wrong. Okay, so then they say again, the Gemara is going to start up and say, "Bahalelil Rabbi Meir, Yisur Chalal Yisur." Does he not hold Yisur Chalal Yisur? So now they're going to explain, as we did already, "Nihidi Yisur Chalal Yisur Leile, Yisur Mosif Yisur Kolal Ile." Kigon, and now they're going to explain the case. I guess we could have just waited to read this inside. But Shabali Moi sleeps with the mother. This is a good review. Beholid Bat, and they had a daughter. Di Yisur Bitova Achotova Hade Hadadate. Right, both the Yisur of the sister and the daughter come at once. Niseit Lachiv, she marries his brother. Migo di Tosif Isur Lagabe Achiv. Now she's forbidden to all of his brothers. So therefore, Itosif Isur Lagabe Dide. So therefore, right, she's now forbidden to more of them. Okay, that's called Isur Mosif again, because you're Mosif on the Chefta di Isur. She's the Chefta di Isur. You're Mosif on her other Isurim. Niseit Lachiv Aviv. Then if she marries the father's brother, right, then migo di istosiv yisur legabe shara cheaviv. Now all the other brothers of the father are now going to be forbidden to her. So again, it's an isur mosif itosif legabe dide. And then havile eshet ish. What about eshet ish? Migo di istosiv yisur legabe alma. When she marries, now she's not only forbidden to a bunch of people, but she's now forbidden to the whole world because she's an eshet ish. Itosif nami legabe dide. So again, for him, it becomes more of an isur. And havile nida. Now what about a nida? There's a separate, right? Normally, Migo di Tosif Isur Legabe Ba'ala. Now, not only is she forbidden to everyone in the world except her husband, now she's also forbidden to her husband. So again, it's another Mosif. And it's each time we keep being Mosif, more people that are forbidden to her until we get to the fact that she's now forbidden to everybody in the whole world because she's a Nida. And therefore, Itosif Nami Gabe Dide. Therefore, when he sleeps with her, that Isur Nida was Chal because there was room for it to be Chal. Okay, next case. Haba'al Bat Bito. Chayav alei mishum bat bito vekalato ve'eshet achi ve'eshet achi aviv ve'eshet ish v'nida. Okay, here's another case. So, his granddaughter marries his son. So his granddaughter becomes both his granddaughter and his daughter-in-law. Okay, if his granddaughter marries his son, then she's going to be forbidden for both. Okay, so here let's read. So here the Gemara doesn't explain all the cases. So let's just go through. So he sleeps with his granddaughter. So he's chayav mishum bat bito, she's his granddaughter. Then kalato, she also married his son. Right? The son to her is her uncle. Right? She's allowed to marry her uncle, remember? So she marries her uncle, so now he's forbidden because it's the daughter-in-law. Because remember, she was the bat bito, that means through the daughter. The daughter had a child, right? His daughter had a child, so it's his granddaughter through his daughter. She now marries her uncle, which is his son. So she's now the daughter-in-law. Ve'eshet achiv. Okay, so now, then after she becomes the daughter-in-law, then she remarries, she gets married another time, and she marries his brother. So then she becomes eshet achiv. And then she becomes Eshet Achi Aviv. Then after that marriage, she goes and marries his uncle. So now, right, we've gone down a generation and up, right, we got a whole bunch of things. And she's still also Eshet Isha Nida. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Imavar Zakenu Nisa'a Chayav Ala Mishum Eshet Av. Okay, he now adds, if her great-grandfather married her, also, then she'd be chayav, also an additional one, because now she's the wife of his father. Okay, that's an additional iser. V'chein habal bat ishto v'al bat bita. Okay, the same thing would be the case if he marries the daughter of his wife or her granddaughter. Okay, and then you basically go through all those again. So they say, katane chayav alei mishum eshet av, mishar yalei. Okay, so now it says she's chayav mishum, according to Rabbi Yossi, she'd be chayav mishum eshet av. So now they say, how could she be, the assumption is that all the people she marries in these cases are permitted to her. Okay, so how could she be, who allows her to marry eshet av? So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kigon shenaflalo liyibum. Okay, and that's, what's the problem with marrying eshet av? The father never could have married her because she had already married, remember she marries the uncle? Okay, remember she's the granddaughter who also is his daughter-in-law. Then she marries the guy's uncle. The guy's uncle is his father's brother. So she can't marry the uncle and then marry the father's brother because they're brothers. One woman can't be married to both brothers. So it says, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, kigon shenaflalo liyibum. She falls to yibum, to the father. In other words, the brother dies, they don't have any kids, so she goes to Yibum to the father. That's the case. So then they say, no, but you didn't pay attention. Yachi, my avar. But why does it say, notice it said, if im avar zakem v'nisa'a, meaning if he did it in a way that was forbidden. The Gemara does something very weird. He says he did in a forbidden manner. The Gemara says, how is he allowed to do that? They said, oh, it was Yibam. Then they said, what do you mean? How is he allowed to do? The Mishnah said he was forbidden. So what does it mean? If he married her from Yibam, then how could it be forbidden? So what are the answer? It was Asur Midrabanan for him to marry her through Yibam. Why? Amar Biyakov, Sha'avar Mishum Kalat Bino, Shnia. It's forbidden to marry your son's daughter-in-law. Okay? Your granddaughter-in-law is forbidden for you to marry as a shnia. You remember there's shnia la'arayot? There's first degree and second degree. Kedetanya, kalato erva, kalat bino shnia. Okay? Your kala is erva, but your kala of your son is a shnia la'erva. V'chein ata motzei, bebat bino ubebat ben bino, ad sof kol adorot. Okay, and now you can also find a case of... this is referring to... right, so what this means to say, it really is missing the word bekalato. The same thing with kalat, bat bino, bat ben bino, ad sof kol adorot. In other words, the granddaughters-in-law, all the daughters-in-law, granddaughter, great-granddaughter, are also aser shniot. Okay, so now they say, Rabbi Yossi, Yisro chalal iser. Does he really hold Yisro chalal iser? Because here he's saying she's going to be forbidden also mishum... right, why would you have this? Because, right, that you're also chayav mishum eshet av. V'hatnan avar v'rashi yesh bo shtei mitot nidom b'chamura. Rabbi Yossi omer nidom b'zikah rishona sheba alav. If you do an avera that has two mitot, you get the more severe one. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you only get the first one that was usher to you. Okay, now, in the same act, two things are usher to you, but one was forbidden to you in time before the other was. Okay, like let's say it was your mother, but she wasn't married, and then she married. So there would be a difference. Is she your mother, or is she an Eshadish? Okay, so here. Or actually, the case they give is a mother-in-law. Vitanya. Ketzad. So it says about that, what's the case? Amar b'yosi nidom b'zikah rishona. So what's the case? Chamoto v'na'aseit Eshadish. First she's your mother-in-law, and she's also married. Nidom mishum chamoto, which is b'sreifa. Eshet ish is bechenek. Okay? So you go by the one that comes to you first. Eshet ish v'naset chomato nidom mishum eshet ish. It all depends. Was she your mother-in-law not married at the time? Was she divorced already or her husband died? She's your mother-in-law and then she got remarried and then you slept with her. It doesn't matter at the moment that she's both. It's whichever one was first. So if first she was married, then you get chenek. If first she was your mother-in-law and then she got married, then you get sreifa. So, what does this show? Sounds like Ein Yisro Chalal Iser, because you're only chayav one of them, right? You're only chayav the one that came first. Because the one that came first means Ein Yisro Chalal Iser. The second one can't even be chal. So they say, no. Moda Rabbi Yosef Yisro Mosif. V'chein ki'ata raven am Rabbi Yochanan, Moda Rabbi Yosef Yisro Mosif. Ma Yisro Mosif Ika. Hacha de'ika bera l'saba. Okay, so now the point is Rabbi Yosef says when it's Yisro Mosif, then it'll count. And what's the Yisro Mosif here about the... What's the issue? The issue is, first she married the uncle, right? And then she married the father. Now, the uncle and the father are brothers. So what does the father add that the uncle didn't? The uncle already, once she married the uncle, she was forbidden to all the brothers. When she now marries the father, she's also forbidden to all the brothers. So why are we going to say that it's Yisro Mosif? So what does he say? Ma Yisro Mosif Ika, hacha di Ika bera l'saba. He had a son. Migo di isosif yisur l'gabei birei, itosif yisur l'gabei didei. Now his son from another marriage is going to be forbidden to her because it's his son. And therefore, that's now forbidden to her. So therefore, he's going to be usher also a new additional thing from the father. Okay, so one second. He had another son and therefore, let me just make sure. Isser Eshet Av Aloto Ben. Right. We added an Isser for that son that he has, so now that the Isser is added to that son, it now can be added in general, and therefore it's again not a case of Isser HaBaal Isser.